Hi, I'm Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. There's growing concern in many parts of this country about a new surge of COVID cases as the Delta variant accounts for more and more of these cases. A number of states that have low vaccination rates are experiencing this surge, but the increase is also taking place in parts of the country that have higher vaccination rates. There's also concern that people who are fully vaccinated could still be infected and end up being a carrier for this virus. Health Commissioner Dr. Mark Levine says the vaccines are still the best bet to prevent serious illness or death.
The data continues to show that people who have been vaccinated are far, far less likely to experience serious illness, hospitalization, or death if they do become infected. As we see nationally, the majority of severe outcomes are almost exclusively in the unvaccinated.
At the same time, the CDC, or the Center for Disease Control, is recommending that fully vaccinated people wear a mask in most indoor settings if they live in one of these new hotspots. The CDC is also recommending that all students, regardless of where they live, wear masks when they go back to school next month. Well, today on Vermont Edition, we're going to turn to two members of the Vermont Health Department to help us better understand just what's going on. With us today, Deputy Health Commissioner Tracy Dolan and State Epidemiologist Patsy Kelso. Welcome both of you to Vermont Edition. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be here.
Thanks, Bob.
Tracy, as Vermonters listen and watch and read about COVID surges in more than six states, and they digest the information that even vaccinated people, fully vaccinated people, could still become infected and be a carrier of this virus, what do you think are some of the most important factors that they need to be aware of at this time?
Well, I think the single most important factor that they need to be aware of is that vaccines are the most powerful tool we have against COVID-19, including the Delta variant. And so I think the most important thing for people to think about is, have they been vaccinated? If they have done the right thing and they are in the best place that they can be. And if they haven't been vaccinated, what do they need to get to that next step? We have a lot of places to get vaccinated all around the state. And if they have questions, they should certainly reach out to their primary care provider or anyone else that they trust.
Tracy, do you feel that the CDC and individual state health departments may be sending out some mixed messages about these new cases?
You know, I think ever since the beginning of the pandemic, because it is tricky. This virus is tricky. You know, the virus is doing what it wants to do, which is figure out a way to continue to spread. However, as we are learning more, we update the information, and it can feel like mixed messages. The other thing to remember is it does look different in different parts of the world and in different parts of the country. We're really clear here in Vermont, with well over 83% vaccinated, that we are relatively protected, which doesn't mean you won't get COVID-19. It is possible, right? Right from the beginning, we've said, even if you're vaccinated, there is a chance. But we're seeing clearly here in Vermont and across the country that for the most part, if you're vaccinated, even if you do get COVID-19, you're not getting seriously ill. You're not hospitalized for the most part. Those aren't the folks showing up in sadly, the death tallies. And so I think that's an important piece to keep in mind here. What you're hearing are messages sometimes for the whole country, but may not always apply uniquely in the place you are. It is a variety of messages. There's no doubt about that. And it is confusing and it can be scary. But remembering, going back to the basics, have you been vaccinated? Are you washing your hands? And are you doing all the things that make sense for you to protect yourself?
Patsy, what do you think are some of the most important things for Vermonters to keep in mind as they see the number of cases surge in a number of states, both in the South and in the Midwest?
I think Tracy said the most important thing. If you're not vaccinated yet, let us know how we can help you get to a point where you feel comfortable doing that, because that is the easiest, best thing that everyone can do. Get your vaccine, and then you can be really confident that you're not going to have a terrible outcome if you do get COVID. And recognize that the risk is different everywhere. We're in a relatively good place in Vermont. We're pretty protected here, but people are traveling, and the risk is higher in other places. So be aware of that. And if you do travel, take some common sense precautions. You know, think about wearing a mask if the place you're going to has higher infection rates than Vermont. Consider getting a test when you get back, just to reassure yourself that you weren't exposed while you were traveling. So again, everyone's level of risk is, level of comfort with taking risk is different. So be aware, be informed, and know that if you're vaccinated, you're well protected against a severe outcome.
Patsy, I've seen some comments from across the country from folks who feel that the CDC recommendations about having fully vaccinated people wear masks in certain indoor settings in the high-risk areas now, that some people think this is undermining people's trust in the vaccine, that the being vaccinated is not all what it's cracked up to be. How do you respond to those concerns?
Again, being vaccinated is a very sure way to make sure you're protected against severe illness and death. But different places in the country are in a different setting than Vermont. It might make sense in certain parts of the country, in certain crowded indoor settings, to wear a mask. We're not sure that, you know, that recommendation needs to be applied across Vermont, because again, we're different. Vermonters have stepped up and gotten their vaccine. But we've also said all along that this is a virus, viruses mutate. It's why we need a new flu vaccine every year, because the flu virus changes. Well, the COVID virus is also changing, and this newer Delta variant does spread more easily from one person to another. So people need to be aware of that. But the current vaccines are highly effective against the Delta variant. It doesn't mean you won't get COVID 100%, but it's just about 100% that you won't need to be hospitalized or die from that infection.
Tracy, some of our listeners might be thinking, well, if the CDC thinks it's a good idea for fully vaccinated people to wear masks when they're indoors in these high-risk areas, and we're seeing more states and municipalities going to the mask approach, if the CDC thinks it's a good idea in those settings, why not, as a safety precaution, ask folks in Vermont to wear masks? What's the downside of it?
That is a good question. I think that, again, when the CDC is putting out their information, they're looking at everyone, including states like Alabama, you know, where rates are very low. And so they are really looking at the most cautious situation. There isn't a downside to wearing your mask. You can absolutely wear a mask, particularly if you go into an indoor crowded place and you're unsure about the vaccination status. There's certainly no harm in that. It can only help. But there's a difference between encouraging people to do that if that feels comfortable versus setting that up as a state recommendation. A lot of folks got vaccinated and feel like one of the benefits of being vaccinated is to have a little more freedom, to be able to move around more, to not wear a mask. And for the most part, when you look at our case rate in Vermont, that really still does remain true. We are relatively protected. We're in a good place. Our hospitalizations are very low. So again, scary to hear all the messages, helpful to hear all the messages coming across the country and around the world. But again, just remembering our context in Vermont is a little different. So there's no downside if you do choose to. Certainly there can only be an upside. I mean, it can only offer you a little more protection. But on the other hand, for all of us who are not wearing masks for the most part when we're going indoors, we're also in a very good place right now in Vermont, particularly in terms of protecting ourselves from significant illness or death.
Let's talk to John, who's calling from Stratford. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. So here's the situation, and maybe you could help provide guidance. My wife and I happened to go to a memorial service for a friend this past weekend. It was held outdoors under a tent, and it turns out that two of the people that were there ended up getting COVID, even though they didn't show symptoms at that time, but right afterwards, from a relative that had been visiting from California. So my wife and I are fully vaccinated and wondering what is the best actions for us to take at this time. I put off going to visit a family gathering tomorrow, just, you know, in an abundance of caution. My wife's going in to get COVID tested today, but wondering, you know, with people who are vaccinating picking up COVID, what should be the actions of those of us who come in contact with them, even though we're vaccinated?
John, that's a great question. Tracy, what advice do you have for John?
The first thing I would say is, so far, it really sounds like they're taking the right steps. I think getting tested, if you're not sure, if you've been close to someone who's had COVID, certainly you can get tested. Thinking about where you're going to go next, you know, if there's a big gathering coming up and you're thinking, what if I'm infected, even though I don't have symptoms? Maybe I won't go to that function. I think those are great initial thoughts. And I think I'll kick it over to Dr. Kelso to think a little bit more and get her perspective on what else they can do.
Yeah, I think that's right. You're doing the right things. If you were in contact with someone who was infectious last weekend, your test should be positive by now if you're infected. So it's never a bad idea to get a test just to be sure. And like Tracy said, you know, staying away from a large gathering, or if there are vulnerable people in your life, maybe holding off a bit before seeing them in an indoor setting. And the other thing I think that's important is, if you do develop any symptoms in the 14 days after a possible exposure to someone, even if you're fully vaccinated, you might think, oh, it's just my allergies, or oh, I might have gotten a cold, or it's very mild. But if you have any symptoms, I would have a low threshold for getting a test for COVID just to be double or triple sure.
Patsy, I was going to say, it really reminds me that I think a lot of folks are thinking, well, we've got a very high vaccination rate. Almost 84% of Vermonters over the age of 12 have at least one dose of the vaccine. Hey, maybe there isn't really a need to be tested anymore. But there really still is a place for testing in our healthcare protocols.
There definitely is. You know, we're still seeing cases of COVID in Vermont every day. And we have to assume that for every case we know about, there are probably others that we don't know about. So it's still a good idea to get a test, especially if you have any symptoms or think you might have been exposed. The only way we know about cases is through people getting tested.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Katie in Fayston. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. So
sure.
I have two questions. One of them is, with our high rate of vaccination here, generally we're saying we're still safe to do things inside without masks. But with us being such a big tourist destination and people coming from places with higher incidence and lower vaccination rates, how safe should we feel eating inside or doing other things inside unmasked? And the second question is about, what is the sensitivity and specificity of the home tests, and how should people be using home testing at this point?
Tracy, do you want to lead us off, and then we'll go to Patsy?
Sure. So the question around how safe should someone feel, that's always a tricky thing for me to say how safe you should feel. However, I think of it this way. If I'm going inside into a more crowded environment in Vermont, and I generally know the community, maybe it's a community event around me, maybe it's a restaurant I go to all the time, and I generally have a sense of what kind of vaccination rates we have in this state, I have some relative safety there. Again, I tend to sit at a table that's, you know, not right up against another table. So I do think about that, a little bit of distancing. If I'm going into a place at this time that I know is primarily tourists, I may choose to put on my mask there, or maybe I'll put on my mask until I sit down. So I think there's just a lot of range in there. Our recommendation overall is to assess your environment and do what makes sense right now. We are going to continue to see some cases. The Delta variant is, you know, predominant now in Vermont, based on the specimens that we have received of late. The Delta variant is certainly here and will be here to stay for a few months. So think about those kinds of factors. If you're going out of state, as Patsy mentioned, again, I was in Maine last weekend, and so I was very cautious about going anywhere inside that was crowded, made sure there was a lot of space, mostly spent my time outside. Again, Maine's vaccination rate is pretty good, but it was a tourist spot. So those are some of the factors to think about. And I think I'll pass it over to Patsy to either add to that, but also to speak to the specificity and sensitivity of the test kits.
Thanks. The home test kits, it depends on which particular home test kit you have access to. The sensitivity and specificity probably vary a little bit from test to test. Also, how the specimen is collected and whether you precisely follow the instructions on not only how to collect the specimen, but how to run the test. All of those things can factor into whether the result that you get is accurate or not. And, you know, generally these tests are probably a little bit less sensitive than a PCR test that's done in a laboratory. So just realize that unless you're doing a home-based rapid test fairly frequently, like once a week, say, you might have a false negative test. That would be the most likely scenario where the test says negative, but you're actually positive, because they are usually a little bit less sensitive than laboratory-based tests.
Tracy, we had an email that came in that wanted to know, they've heard a lot about these breakthrough cases, the cases where fully vaccinated people have still tested positive, some have symptoms, some don't. And the listener wanted to know, depending on the vaccine that you got, is your possibility of getting a breakthrough case any greater or any less? So and this is someone who had the J&J vaccine, who feels that perhaps there are more breakthrough cases with that particular vaccine. Do we have any evidence or any data to support this?
In Vermont, we're seeing that breakthrough cases, while not common, are occurring in people who are vaccinated with all of our vaccines. And so it doesn't appear from the data that we have to show that that would favor one vaccine or the other. Nationally, I think they're looking at the data now and trying to determine which vaccine is most effective and what recommendations they would make to provide for any boosters or any change. I'm also going to hand it over to Patsy. I know this is in her ballpark a little more as well.
That's correct. We are seeing occasional breakthrough cases among recipients of all three types of vaccines in Vermont. So I don't have any concerns of one vaccine or another being more or less effective.
That's good to know. Let's go back to our listeners and talk to Jackie, who's calling from Derby Line. Hey, Jackie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm calling to say that I have started wearing my mask again when I go grocery shopping or go to large indoor spaces which have a number of people. And because I decided that I don't know who's vaccinated and who isn't vaccinated, because not many people are wearing masks anymore. I feel safer by wearing my mask. Also, I've been seeing in the last few weeks a lot of out-of-state cars from the southern part of the country, from North and South Carolina, Alabama, Arkansas, I could go on. Out-of-state cars that I am not accustomed to seeing during the summer months of tourism.
Jackie, thanks for your question and your comments. Patsy, do you think that perhaps people who have been vaccinated took a little bit too much for granted that all of a sudden they were invincible now and couldn't get this infectious virus, and now they're learning that they can, and perhaps people like Jackie and other people in Vermont are thinking, you know, maybe I'm going to start wearing my mask again. I'm going to feel better if I do that.
And Jackie, if it makes you feel more comfortable to wear a mask, then that's perfectly fine. When we have to set broad statewide policies about things like masks, we think about not just risk to an individual person, but risk to the whole population. And, you know, we, with our high vaccination rates in Vermont, are largely protected. And even though there will continue to be individual or what we call sporadic cases of COVID for a long time, we do not expect to have a situation that we were in before we had vaccines available, where one case can lead to an outbreak, can lead to another outbreak. We're just really not seeing that. We're seeing very small numbers of outbreaks, and we're not seeing, you know, exponential spread because most of the people are vaccinated. So the same thing applies for people coming to Vermont from out of state. Regardless of whether they're vaccinated or not, they are not going to have an opportunity to cause large outbreaks and exponential spread in Vermont if they are carrying COVID, because most people that they interact with are protected.
Tracy, we got this email from one of our listeners, very much along the same lines, I think, that Jackie was asking her question. This listener writes, I'm very immune compromised. It's great to be in a state like Vermont, but we live in Burlington, where there are many out-of-state visitors. They crowd together inside and outside unmasked, so I can't go anywhere. Church Street is packed, and many will come for the Festival of Fools. Even the bike path is crowded. Vaccinated people are still getting it, and they need to know about that. They're getting the wrong message right now. They think it's over. Tracy, what do you say to that listener?
You know, I appreciate that the listener probably has a lot of concerns about her own health status or his health status. I'm not sure if that was who that was. And but I don't know that people necessarily think it's over. Like your last caller, I think it was Jackie, I'm actually seeing a lot of people now start to wear some masks too in some environments. I think we did learn a lot about how this virus spreads. For example, we didn't see a lot of outdoor transmission. So even though in Burlington, you may see more tourists coming in, if you're in an outdoor environment, it's less likely, particularly if you're vaccinated, that you would have the virus transmitted to you. However, in an indoor environment, if you feel like particularly that it's got a high tourist level of people in the environment, or you're unsure, you know, masking might make sense for you. Again, we're not seeing the majority of people wearing masks again. And again, just to remind everyone, looking at our case rate is still very low. And when people who are vaccinated are getting COVID-19, for the most part, they're either asymptomatic or mildly sick. They are not experiencing serious illness. So these are all the things to keep in mind. But if you're immune compromised, if you're concerned, you know, I wouldn't say don't go anywhere, because there is the mental health and social health aspect of this. It's really important to connect with people. But maybe if you're more comfortable because of your own health condition, you might want to connect more outside. Or if you're going inside, you might want to think about, you know, is it crowded? Is this a high tourist area in terms of the event?
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Jason, who's calling from Wyndham. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the program.
Hey, my question is in regards to the variants and mutations. Now, is there any tests or studies that have shown that vaccinated folks are less likely to allow the virus to mutate as opposed to non-vaccinated? I can take my answer off the air. Thanks.
Patsy Kelso, do you have some thoughts about that?
I think the main message is that vaccinated people are much less likely to be infected, and the virus needs to be in a human host cell in order to mutate. So if you're vaccinated and you're not getting infected, you're also not contributing to the emergence or spread of any variants.
Let's talk to Diane, who's calling from Sutton. Hi, Diane. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thank you to all of you for taking the time to do these programs. I feel more informed. My question mainly is along the lines of that mutation and the mask wearing, what have you. The numbers from the Provincetown 4th of July festivities left me a little bit shaken. To have 765 in the outbreak, but 469 among Mass residents alone, 74% were fully immunized. And that left me concerned with if we're creating something here. That just seemed like a high percentage.
Tracy, what are your thoughts about that? I think that caught a lot of people's attention.
Oh, I think it did. Again, you know, we are tracking any outbreak carefully and tracing it back to see where it might be landing in Vermont. Patsy's team, our state epidemiologist team, is particularly looking at those. So I'll hand over to her for the second half of this.
Thanks. We have to keep in mind, it's not just the fact that people were in Provincetown and became infected, even though they were fully vaccinated. That has happened, but we need to look further into where there are large gatherings, were they indoors or outdoors, what types of events were happening where this transmission happened. So I think, you know, it's concerning that there were that many cases, especially among fully vaccinated people. We need to learn more about, you know, were these indoor parties or were these people on the beach? To understand more about the transmission. And the other thing is, while it's unfortunate, you know, we are not seeing large numbers of hospitalizations or deaths associated with that large outbreak. So that's excellent. And it's an opportunity for us to dig into the data a little more at the national level with this large number of cases and see, okay, is there something different about this group of people? Or, you know, what are the viral loads? Is this a new variant, which there's no indication that it is, but it helps us study the transmission patterns more so we can learn, and that can help guide our recommendations. So I'm sure there will be more insights that we get at the national level from state and federal officials digging into this to see what we can learn.
And Patsy, do you understand that, you know, just regular non-scientific, non-health-related folks look at the situation in Provincetown and say, how could that be possible? How could such a high percentage of the cases be people who are fully vaccinated? It starts to throw a lot of confusion in people's minds, doesn't it?
Sure. And that's why I say, you know, if you think about it a little more, you have to wonder, was this one or two big indoor parties? You know, was there something else going on that contributed to this level of spread? And, you know, that's the type of digging we need to do when we hear about this. But I can see how it can make people concerned. The thing that, you know, the average person wouldn't necessarily think of this, but it's one thing to say, well, we have cases among fully vaccinated people. we can look at just the raw numbers of cases and be concerned. But the important thing is to dig down and think about, okay, what are the rates? If we take the whole population of vaccinated people, how many people is that and how many cases were there in that group? And then we take a separate group of unvaccinated people and how many cases were there in that group? So we need to look at not just the numbers of cases in vaccinated and unvaccinated people, but the rates in order to be able to compare them.
Let's go back to our callers, and we've got lots of folks who have questions today. Let's talk to Dan in Huntington. Hey, Dan, welcome to the program.
Thanks for taking my call. When you folks talk about severe illness, you seem very focused on hospitalization and death. But I'm also concerned about what is known as long COVID, or the long haulers. And many of these long haulers start out with mild symptoms at the beginning, but then these symptoms get much worse and they go on for months and months and months to the point where they experience serious life disruption. I think this really classifies as a severe illness. And I wonder about the efficacy of vaccines in preventing long COVID, because if their efficacy is less than we think, like the data from Israel suggests, we could be in a situation where people go back to normal activity, they're vaccinated, they get COVID, it's mild to begin with, but then they end up to be long haulers. And are we really, really keeping track of this long COVID at all?
Thanks. Dan, that's a great question. Tracy, let me ask you this. I saw this report in the New York Times. It was a study of nearly 2 million people who had tested positive for the coronavirus in the last year. So we've got 2 million people, positive tests. Almost a quarter of them sought medical treatment for new conditions in the months afterwards, as Dan was talking about the people, the long haulers. And some of them had symptoms of breathing difficulties, nerve and muscle pain, high blood pressure, migraines, anxiety, depression, intestinal problems. Have we been paying enough attention, as Dan suggested, to these people who have had the initial symptoms, but boy, they're getting whacked weeks and months afterwards? And do we need to keep better track of what's happening to these folks?
Yeah, the long hauler syndrome, and I'm calling it a syndrome there, that's not an official title, but the long hauler phenomena is one that I think we're still learning about. That study you refer to, it's a little tricky to draw conclusions based on the idea that 2 million positive and a quarter of those in the months following sought healthcare. That might be a case where some of them may have sought healthcare services for conditions that are somehow related to COVID, but others may have sought healthcare for simply other conditions. Some of the conditions you mentioned are also just very widespread in the population. So it's difficult to draw conclusions from that. But we absolutely know that there are long haulers who have had COVID. What we don't know as much is the extent of how many of them were mild and got more serious. In a lot of cases, what we see is people who had had more significant symptoms, and then some of those carried on. So it's difficult to say right now. Certainly in Vermont, we don't have a good sense of the numbers on those, and it's difficult to say the relationship between how serious the infection was initially and how many of those then experienced symptoms months later or conditions. And I'll hand over to Patsy to see if she has anything to add on that.
I do, because I'm happy to say that the health department is partnering with the University of Vermont to do some enhanced public health surveillance and dig into this a little further. We are randomly selecting some of our Vermont COVID cases, and clinical folks are following up with them at 3 months and 6 months and 9 months to see whether they have any lingering or new symptoms that could be due to their COVID infection. So we'll have more Vermont data on this in the next 6 months to a year. One of the challenges is just that this virus has only been around for about a year and a half. And so we just, you know, globally haven't been able to study this phenomenon in detail yet, but that work is underway, even in Vermont.
I'd like to get both of your opinions on this subject. It seems like a lot of people calling in today and writing in today are wondering, in terms of the breakthrough infections that are taking place, are these infections happening because with the fully vaccinated people, because perhaps those vaccines are not as reliable as we thought they were? Or are we facing a situation now where most of our infections are taking place among unvaccinated people? And a survey in the New York Times took a look at this, and they said this is two very different scenarios. If breakthrough infections are an important source of COVID spread, it would suggest that vaccinated people should resume some of their previous precautions. If COVID is instead spreading overwhelmingly among the unvaccinated, it would suggest that the behavior of the vaccinated doesn't matter very much. The only reliable way to reduce caseloads would involve more vaccinations. Patsy Kelso, from your comments at the beginning of the program, it seems like you feel the most reliable and best way to reduce caseloads would involve more vaccinations. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. When we look at the risk of getting COVID, so we look at the whole population denominator of vaccinated Vermonters, their incidence rate or risk for getting COVID is low. And then when we look at the unvaccinated population, a much smaller number in Vermont, their risk of getting COVID, those new cases that we're seeing, is a lot higher. So the risk is definitely higher if you're unvaccinated. And, you know, what we're seeing with the breakthrough cases is not that the vaccines aren't working because they're preventing the serious outcomes. It's just that the Delta variant in particular is much more easily spread from one person to another. So it spreads more easily and it is causing some infections in people who are fully vaccinated, like we see with virtually every other vaccine. You know, nothing is 100% effective. But the risk of getting COVID is definitely higher if you're not vaccinated.
And Tracy, would you agree that the main priorities of the Vermont Health Department should primarily focus on the unvaccinated population?
Yes, absolutely. That continues to be our highest priority. Of course, when we find out about a positive case, regardless of vaccination status, we follow up and we do our contact tracing. However, our focus is really continuing to get people vaccinated, because once we close those pathways, while we still may have some infections, we will certainly not be in the place where we're as concerned about the immediate effects of that around, hospalization, serious illness. So absolutely vaccination, but of course, following up with every case.
Let's go back to our callers and talk to Ralph, who's calling from Burlington. Hey, Ralph, welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm a member of the UVM AstraZeneca trial, and I'm one of 200 or so Vermonters who actually received the vaccination. And I'm wondering, where does that leave us with the Delta variant? And should I just go out and get the Pfizer inoculation anyway?
Patsy, what do you think?
We don't have evidence based in science to make a recommendation about if you've gotten one vaccine, you should get doses of another vaccine. We're not recommending that at this point because we don't have the data to back it up. I know a lot less about the AstraZeneca vaccine because it's not one that is used in the United States, although we did have that vaccine trial happen at UVM. And are glad that Vermonters stepped up to participate in that. And the AstraZeneca vaccine is being used widely in other parts of the world. I'm just not as familiar with it. I think if you reached out to the Vaccine Testing Center at UVM, they could probably give you some guidance, but I'm guessing it's not gonna be that you should get a dose of one of the other vaccines if you've gotten that one.
Let's talk to Cheryl, who is calling from Burlington. Hi, Cheryl. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Yes, I have a question. I am reading from the CDC website, and it says that as of May 1st, 2021, they will focus on identifying and investigating only hospitalized and fatal cases of breakthrough vaccinated people. So how accurate are our statistics when we are giving numbers of breakthroughs and vaccinated versus unvaccinated when the CDC is only reporting fatal or hospitalized cases?
Tracy, what do you think?
I think I'll pass that over to Patsy. CDC is still recording cases. There's a difference between investigation and still recording our numbers. So we still report up all of our positive cases to CDC. So when you see numbers on the CDC website or the Vermont Department of Health website, those are comprehensive numbers. But I'll pass it over to Patsy to just explain the difference between recording and reporting out versus what it means for a CDC investigation.
That's correct. CDC doesn't investigate these cases. The state and local health departments across the country do. And then they report the numbers to CDC every day. We get an email from CDC every single day of the week, Monday through Friday, to verify our case counts for that day. So, you know, the data is coming from the states, who are the ones investigating whether it's a case or not, and then the numbers get reported up to CDC. So I'd have to understand more about what CDC page you're reading and if there's any more context around that.
Patsy, do we also have a situation, though, where a number of breakthrough cases are asymptomatic, and so the folks have no idea that they are now positive? They aren't being reported in any way. So could the number of breakthrough cases be considerably larger than what's being reported?
It could be, but likely the number of cases in general is larger than what's being reported, because even among unvaccinated people, so non-breakthrough cases, a lot of infections are asymptomatic, or people might have a very mild illness with only one or two symptoms that they don't even realize is COVID. So they never get tested and never get reported. It may be happening more often now that when a fully vaccinated person gets COVID, because they are more likely to have either no symptoms or very mild symptoms. So we might be undercounting a bit more among fully vaccinated people, but that's always been a challenge. And really, the only way to know whether or not you have COVID is to get a test.
Tracy, we got this email from one of our listeners who wants to know, my parents both had COVID last October. Will their immunity keep them safe, or do they still need to get a vaccine?
They need to get a vaccine. While getting an illness does often result in some natural immunity, we don't necessarily know the extent of that immunity or how long it lasts. It may wane over time. However, vaccines are studied in trials, and we're able to measure the amount of vaccine, and we're able to measure the extent of the immunity. So anyone who has had COVID should still get a vaccine.
Patsy, I'm wondering, a lot of folks are questioning the idea of booster shots. Do we have any new information from the CDC about whether or not booster shots are basically on the horizon in the next couple of months or not?
No, I don't think we do. CDC is continuing to look at the data. You know, might at some point recommend booster shots. The recommendation might only be for certain people with certain underlying health conditions rather than for everyone. So we'll just have to follow the science and wait and see. I don't have a time frame for when we might know more about that.
And Tracy, we're almost out of time, but as we've heard, Vermont is leading the country in the number of people who have at least one dose of the vaccination. But down in the younger age groups, it's the response rate is not so good. In the 18 to 21 age group, the rate is 50%, and 22 to 29, the rate is 62%. So is the state now really trying to target this younger demographic for vaccines?
We are, and one of the ways we're trying to do that is through convenience, just bringing the vaccine to wherever people are. We know that for a lot of people, they really just almost need to stumble upon it. We don't see so much that a lot of people are opposed as much as just not necessarily prioritizing it. And I do want to add, because I know that we're running out of time soon, I can hear from the questions and I can feel in Vermont, people are nervous. And I do understand that we are hearing and seeing a lot of things happening, particularly in other states. I want to reassure people that I think Vermont, we are doing all we can. So many Vermonters have done the right thing, but you do have tools in your toolbox, the biggest one being a vaccine. But certainly if you feel comfortable, you know, wear your mask in an indoor environment, if that makes you feel safer. Think about, you know, where you're headed on holidays. If you're going out of state to a place that has less vaccination, you may want to adjust your plans in terms of the kinds of places you visit. So you do have tools in your toolbox, you know, hand washing, some of the basics that we know. I know you're nervous, but we are working hard every day reviewing, and we will keep you up to date, and we will make adjustments as we need to. But you're doing the right things, and we are with you. We share your concerns, and we're on top of it.
Well, it's an issue that we're all following very closely in the weeks and months ahead. Many thanks to our guests today, Tracy Dolan and Patsy Kelso, for bringing us up to date on many of these important COVID developments. Thank you both very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.